Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you to The Drift. Thank you for tuning in to catch my drift this beautiful Memorial weekend. It's going to be great weather all weekend, and plenty of things to get to today. We're going to try and celebrate the veterans and those of our troops who are serving still on today's show. So 734-822-1600. If you are a veteran or currently have family serving, feel free to call in and thank them over the phone with us. But let's take care of a little business. Today's half-hour sponsorship is Brighton Ford. You can get hold of Brighton Ford for new cars or used cars, 1-800-494-2175. Todd and Scott Spittler run a great dealership. I've bought three cars from them myself now, and get most of my service work done there as well. You can get a tire rotation for $16.95. There's coupons in the Current newspaper, or you can go to currentonline.com and download it and print it and still use them. They've got a pothole special for $59.95, and that includes a front-end alignment, tire balance, and a tire rotation. So great place to get your oil change and everything else. They really take care of you and let you know what needs to be done on your car. So you can go to brightonford.com or 1-800-494-2175. And what we do on The Drift every weekend is go over the stories that I've put on The Daily Drift for you. If you haven't been to The Daily Drift, you should be going there, www.thedailydrift.com. And I'll put links to stories from around the world and your own backyard that you're probably not seeing necessarily on channels 2, 4, and 7 in your mainstream media, even stuff you won't see on Fox sometimes. So it's a great place. One of the stories that hit me locally this week was a resolution by our own Washtenaw County Board of Commissioners. They're not happy with any oil drilling going on in Washtenaw County. And joining us from the Washtenaw County Commission is Dan Smith. Dan, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Gary. Nice to be with you.
Good to have you on, Dan. We haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it's been cold.
I know.
We had winter that went till April.
It didn't stop you from knocking on doors, did it?
No, of course not.
You are one of those county commissioners who literally takes his job very seriously. You knock on doors all year long, even when it's not campaign year, you're still out knocking on doors, and I appreciate that, and I think a lot of people do, too. That's why you were so handily running. Are you on a poise this year or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's because you're out knocking on doors, talking to people, letting them know what's going on. So, well, the Washtenaw County Commission did it again. They wanted to pass a resolution, and first and foremost, I know what you're going to say. It's got nothing to do with the county commission oil drilling in Washtenaw County, right?
That's correct. It has nothing to do with us, and state law is very, very clear about that.
And so, once again, we find our liberal-leaning board pushing a resolution to say we don't want oil drilling, fracking, anything of this sort going on. And of the was there seven votes?
There were seven votes at that time, right?
Seven votes, and you were the only one who said, listen, I'm not going to agree with this because it doesn't make any sense. Number one, we've got nothing to say about it. We're wasting, and they're wasting taxpayer time, frankly, I believe.
And we spend a lot of time debating these types of things or having people make public comment about them, and they're not under our control. Nothing we can do about it. We can pass resolutions like this all day long. It won't change anything in Scioto Township.
Yeah. What bothers me most about this, I guess, is these are the same guys who want to pass resolutions for minimum wage and let's pay our minimum wage, living wage, just like the city of Ann Arbor does. And it's no coincidence, I think, that the resolution you guys passed was almost identical to the one the city of Ann Arbor passed, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was virtually the same thing.
Yeah. So, And it's understandable. I know there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of misconception about fracking and gas drilling and oil drilling. And unfortunately, it's been that way in the state of Michigan for 100 years, probably. People don't like the idea of drilling for oil. But you know what? we have a lot of it. We probably have as much in this state as many of those states out west, and people just don't seem to realize that. They get that big cloudy fear in them that we're going to have oil spills. I mean, we've been fracking in this state now for over 60 years, and we've not had a major incident, have we, to your knowledge?
I don't really know all the details on that, but this illustrates one of the problems with the Board of Commissioners trying to take up something like this. As you're illustrating here, it's a large, complex issue. It's not under our purview. Lansing has said it is under our purview. They've made these decisions that affect everybody in the state and affect everybody equally. And it is a complicated thing. Lots of different things, lots of different concerns. Lansing sorted through them and said, here's what we're going to do in Michigan.
Yeah. I tried to jump into the comment section. This story that I'm going off of is from AnnArbor.com, MLive, and Ryan Stanton wrote the nice article. He's a pretty decent, though I think a little liberal left-leaning, but wrote a very nice article about it. And but do you seem to get grief from your fellow board members on these things?
They keep bringing them forward. I'm not quite sure why they keep bringing them forward. They, again, have nothing to do with us. I encourage them to use more effective means of lobbying. I've got nothing against the lobbying and the taking stand on these things that they feel are important. It's doing it under the purview of the county board at a county board meeting.
Yeah.
All right. If Commissioner Robbie wants to go to SIO and hold public forums about this, have at it. He could do that all day long. I'm perfectly fine with that. If he wants to go up in Lansing and lobby for rule changes or the law to be changed, he can do that. We have six legislators from Washtenaw County, and some of those legislators are very close to members of the Board of Commissioners. We have lots of ways to actually effectively influence public policy rather than taking up board time at a county board meeting doing these types of activities.
Yeah, it's just grandstanding. I remember I met him when he was first running. I think he ran the first time for county commission the same year that you did, didn't he?
That's correct, yeah.
And we met him at one of those meetings, and he seemed like a kind of a decent enough fellow. And I was kind of proud to see a young man of his age. I think he had just recently graduated college trying to jump into politics. But it turns out he's just another liberal guy who's pushing an agenda that makes absolutely no sense and wasting, frankly, taxpayers' time and money at those meetings when he's pushing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's welcome to push it. It's just not as a county business pushing it is the problem I have in bringing resolutions like this before the board. Does indeed consume a lot of time. I mean, it's staff time to prepare the resolution, public comment time then. Do we hear people commenting on these things that we can't do anything about? I'm, of course, always happy to hear from people. I go to their door asking to hear from them. So I'm thrilled to have people at our meetings and commenting on things that we're doing. But when it's a lot of public comment, we had several meetings of public comment last fall, you may recall, with the Stand Your Ground thing. Nothing we can do about it again, all right? Stuff that's under our purview, well, that's a different matter. So we take up a lot of time with public comment, and then we try and have some discussion or debate about it at the board table. Well, it's really not discussion or debate. It's really just all one-sided type of thing. There was nobody there saying, well, here's all the good things that can happen from oil drilling. I tried to convey some of that with regards to the if people weren't signing leases with the oil companies, we wouldn't have this problem here. Obviously, people want the revenue from signing the lease. The oil is where the oil is. It's a valuable resource. We need it.
Right.
So that's the problem with some of these things. We try and take these things on, and we don't really delve into all the issues and have a real debate. Why? Because it's none of our business to begin with.
Right. All right. Well, thanks, Dan, so much for being that vote of common sense on there, and I'm glad that you're sticking by your guns when it comes to that, because you know there's a total lack of common sense on that board, frankly, in my opinion. And but the people of this area keep voting them in, so maybe we're all lacking a bunch of common sense. But stay true to yourself, Dan. We appreciate all the hard work that you do.
Well, thank you very much, Gary. Have a good week, and remember our troops and veterans.
Absolutely, thank you, Dan, so much.
All right,
bye bye. Well, there you go. So County Commissioner Dan Smith, always a vote of common sense at that board level, and I wish there was more of it around. Frankly, that issue for me of minimum wage. They talk about it all the time in Ann Arbor. We've got to have a living wage. We've got to have a minimum wage. You know, these liberal commissioners are the same people who want that $15 an hour to work at McDonald's. If, in fact, that is what you really want, if as a county commissioner that's what you really want for the people of Ann Arbor, of Ypsilanti, of Washtenaw County to be making $15 an hour as a minimum wage, you know, there's a way to do it. Allow and encourage more drilling. Allow and encourage more fracking. Because you know what? In North Dakota, where they do drill for the oil and the gas that is under their ground, fast food workers make $15 an hour. That's what you're pushing for. So on the one hand, you're trying to say we want to give $15 an hour, but when we have an industry that is willing to come in and give good jobs to people, $15 an hour, they say no. They drag their feet, and if they had any choice in the matter, they would stop it cold. So Commissioner Robbie and the rest of you Democrats who voted for this ignorant resolution, because that's all I can say. We put a man on the moon 60 years ago. We have the technology to remove gas and oil safely from the ground without hurting our drinking water or hurting the streams or the Huron River. This is just an excuse for you people to hold on to your ideology of green, tree-hugging, social justice nonsense. And frankly, I'm finding these people to be social justice Nazis at this level when they're trying to push their ideologies in a way that hurts the rest of the community. We're going to go into a break, Derek, and when we come back, we will move on to other stupidity. See you on the other side.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
I'm Susan Lucci. More than 2 million Americans have a type of irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib, putting them at greater risk of stroke.
I'm Dr. David Willis, and I frequently see patients with AFib, a serious condition where a blood clot can travel from the heart to the brain, causing a stroke.
When I found out my husband, Helmut, had AFib, I pledged to learn everything I could.
Susan and I, along with my doctor, work as a team to help reduce my risk of AFib-related stroke.
Visit facingafib.com today.
Warning. Orthopedic surgeons are seeing an increase in overuse injuries when young athletes perform the same repetitive stressful motions over and over. Pitching, tennis, weight training, even long swimming workouts can cause overuse trauma that may require surgery. If your kids play and train hard, visit orthoinfo.org or stopsportsinjuries.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine.
So yesterday, I was in the park, and I just happened to run into this guy named Mike, who served in Iraq. I served in Vietnam as a Marine. Then he asked,
"So I've been feeling down, having a hard time. Now, does it get any better?"
It will get better. Paralyzed Veterans of America will help you. They helped me get my health care and VA benefits and rebuild my life.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, changing lives, building futures. To learn more, visit pva.org.
This is your Wham Weekend Warrior, Derek Stone, reminding you to join me for the Patriotic American Country Special this Sunday, May 25th, from 6 to 7 p.m. The show will feature songs from legendary singers like Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, Hank Williams Jr., and Garth Brooks. It's a program that will truly make you feel proud to be an American during these difficult times. Join me for a salute to patriotism this Sunday night from 6 to 7, right here on Wham.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back to The Drift. Glad to have you with me on this wonderful Memorial weekend. Make sure you thank all those servicemen and women and those veterans for what they do and allowing us to even be here on the radio speaking to you today. So, something to remember, it's not just a holiday weekend for barbecuing and picnics and a day off. It's time to reflect and thank those who have given us this life. So, don't forget that this weekend. Big in the news this week was Congressman John Conyers, long-time serving congressman, 25 years, whatever it is, didn't get enough signatures on his petitions to make it onto the Michigan ballot, according to Ruth Johnson. It came to be that several of his circulators were not registered voters themselves. And so the petition signatures came into question that you need 1,000 signatures. You would think for somebody running a congressional campaign, it shouldn't be that hard to do. And it isn't if you take a little common sense and put your people to work and make sure that they are indeed registered voters. But U.S. District Judge Matthew Lightman put the 85-year-old congressman back on the ballot after Ruth Johnson, just hours after Ruth Johnson, our Secretary of State, said there wasn't enough valid signatures according to Michigan law. Lightman said the requirement that petition circulators be registered voters, and that's the issue, that got Conyers booted off the ballot, puts serious limitations on free speech and the rights of the circulators, the people who signed the petitions, and John Conyers. Now, frankly, I don't see any constitutionality in this issue at all. The states have a right to ensure that the ballot is fair and real. And to do that, they need to have a legal system to put into place. Now, if you want to vote, that is your legal right under the Constitution to vote. But the law is there that you register. You are obligated to register if you want to vote. There shouldn't be any complaint when somebody has to go out and circulate a legally binding petition to put somebody on a ballot or to put a subject on the ballot. The reason they have you be a registered voter is so that you're not some outsider coming in to skew the election. And frankly, the other part of that is if you're too stupid to get yourself registered to vote in an election, how the heck can you possibly be smart enough to go out and get somebody else registered? It's the most simplest of things to do. It's amazing to me that this would even come up. They're saying it's a freedom of speech violation. Really? You are allowed, and this happens all the time. People come to your door, your neighbors, they want to sign a petition to stop the swamp from being drained, to save the ducks, or to stop fracking in your neighborhood. Those kind of circulations and petitions can happen all the time. That is freedom of speech to do that. But if it's going to be a legally binding document under the state law to affect a ballot, there are rules in place for that. For Judge Lightman to overrule this and throw state law out the window is another trampling of states' rights. And frankly, this judge is either just trying to be politically correct, or he is one of those progressive liberals who's out to destroy the Constitution while at the same time using it as a shield. That's completely and utterly wrong. And this judge should be ashamed of himself. I hope Ruth Johnson has the guts and the courage to appeal this and take it all the way to the Supreme Court. Because if we don't have laws, what do we have? How can somebody be just stuck on the ballot? At what point does it get worse than this? I can break any law I want because, you know what, it's violating my constitutional rights. I can now go in and rob a bank because I have the right to free money. Where do you draw the line? This is a complete and utter violation of Michigan law. And the legislature, the governor, Ruth Johnson, please take this up. It's an absolute travesty that a federal judge can walk into the state of Michigan and deny state law and put this man back on the ballot. What does that say about Thaddeus McCotter's campaign? Again, a congressman not paying attention, not putting the right people into play, and not getting enough signatures to be on the ballot. But you don't see Thaddeus McCotter walking back onto the ballot through a court order. Has this got anything to do with race? I'm just asking. If John Conyers was a white man, would he have gotten the same treatment? I don't know. I firmly believe that there is something more to this. Either the judge is trying to be politically correct, or he is one of those progressive liberals out to destroy the Constitution. And that's what he's doing. At the same time, he's trying to use the Constitution. That's totally unfair. So if you got calls, opinions on this, I'd love to hear from you. But frankly, for me, I feel violated. And I think people should be up in arms about this John Conyers thing. It doesn't make a lick of sense to me that this man can just walk on. He's been there forever. He's one of the longest serving congressmen. And while the unions loved him, while the people of Detroit loved him because he brought home the bacon, I don't know that he's worth fighting for to get back on the ballot. And yet, they put him right back on. We got a call from Tony in Livonia about John Conyers. Tony, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi there. I'm really glad you brought this up because not many people are commenting on it. And I'm just furious at what happened. And while I was waiting to get on, you did mention about McCotter. I was going to add that, which you hadn't when I first called. Yeah, McCotter, a Republican, got no favors. But now you've got a Democrat, and suddenly, what this judge did is he swept aside county and state law. And by the way, I heard the other day, frankly, on one, I was really anxious to hear that. One of the commentators or newscasters said that this judge is an Obama appointee. So is it starting to make a little more sense?
Well, yeah, I think, Tony, that's what you're going to see. I mean, a lot of times what you get in the first few years of a president is just shallow. But this appointed judge will be there forever making these kinds of decisions. And we're going to have to live with this because this judge will probably be there for – he was a Miller Canfield attorney, so he's one of Detroit's high-powered attorneys anyways.
Oh, boy.
But
a real good case of judge shopping, and it just infuriates me. And I sure hope our Secretary of State has the guts to go ahead and really tear into this. I just hope she does something about it. And another thing you can bet on, any election, any general election, that if a Democrat loses by a little bit, a few thousand votes, you can guarantee the Democrat's going to win in the recounts in many areas, like in Washington State where they stole the governorship.
Yeah, and I reached out, Tony, to...
They stole the senatorship. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I reached out to Reverend Horace Sheffield, who's running against John Conyers, and I hope he wins, because you know what? Get some fresh blood in there. Even though he's another Democrat, I would love to see some fresh blood, some fresh ideas down for representing the city of Detroit and the people in the surrounding suburbs.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm really glad you brought this issue up, because I haven't heard much commentary on other than the fact that it happened. But no commentary showing how bad this thing was, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Yeah, no problem, Tony. You know what? You can do the same thing by, you know, make a phone call to Ruth Johnson on Tuesday morning and say, you know what, have the guts to fight this and appeal it, because and encourage your friends to do so as well, and that's what we'll tell the listeners. So thanks for the call, Tony. I appreciate it.
Good idea. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Well, there you go. This is something that can be done. If enough of us get on the horns, send the emails, make the phone calls, send the faxes, you might be able to go Ruth Johnson or maybe even get Bill Schuette, the attorney general, involved again to pursue this, because this is a clear trampling of states' rights. That's the way I see it. I am offended by this federal judge walking into the state of Michigan and making this call. John Conyers had all the time in the world to get his signatures together, his petitions right, and it's his obligation, because he's the one that hires campaign people. It's his obligation to go ahead and take care of that and make sure the signatures and the petitioners are right, not just voiding out a law. All right, we're going into hard break. We'll see you all on the other side.
on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Pat O'Neill. Police are calling it a premeditated mass murder. Seven people dead, seven injured in Santa Barbara, California, after a drive-by shooting spree. The shooting occurred just after 9 p.m. last night near the campus of the University of Santa Barbara.
But I think, you know, the problem with an incident like this is it's obviously the work of a madman.
County Sheriff Bill Brown. One of the dead, the suspect either killed by police during an exchange of gunfire or from a self-inflicted wound. He crashed his black BMW into a parked car.
The sheriff's office is not looking for any additional suspects. We believe the suspect acted alone.
An attorney for the suspect now says the family believed the shooter was the son of Peter Roger, an assistant director of the Hunger Games. The shootings occurred in Isla Vista, an off-campus area known for parties. This is a Fox News alert.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Ford Motor Company Chorus presents A Journey Through Time. The chorus is celebrating its 70th anniversary with a tribute of song and video commemorating Ford Motor Company's 111th anniversary. It'll be May 30th at 7:30 p.m. at Angelic Lutheran Church, 8400 Park Avenue in Allen Park. Tickets are $10 each. The chorus will be performing popular numbers from the early 1900s through today. The concert is limited to 300 tickets. For more information, call 313-418-3140. The quilting season in Saline is sponsoring the program Lunches on Us for students who receive lunches during the school year but not during the summer. They're accepting donations of non-perishable lunch items during the months of April, May, June, and July. Food items may be dropped off at the quilting season located at 7025 East Michigan Avenue on the corner of Moon and Michigan Avenue. Or you may drop items off at the Saline branch of Key Bank at the corner of Ann Arbor Street and Michigan Avenue. Each year, children are placed into foster homes due to circumstances beyond their control. Their home life has been disrupted and they are in need of a strong, stable place to live until they are able to return home. Caring homes are needed to provide a safe place for these children to live until they can return to their birth families. Homes are needed for children of all ages, especially teenagers. Girlstown Foundation, a nonprofit organization, has served children and families in the Metro Detroit area since 1958. Your help is needed. Interested people can call 734-697-4804 extension 241 or visit girlstownfoundation.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift here on Wham! Talk 1600. If you've got things you want to say about Memorial Weekend, 734-822-1600. We were talking this last half hour about John Conyers getting back on the ballot, and we're going to let that go in a minute here, but there was one other thing I wanted to talk about, and this was the response of John Conyers when he found out. Here's a quick clip of that response. Go ahead, Derek.
I'm overjoyed with the outcome. I think that we've cleared up some of the overly technical parts of the electoral process, and things are moving along, I think.
Okay. Overly technical parts of the electoral process. I'm not sure I understand how technical it is to say you have to be a registered voter to circulate petitions to get other registered voters to sign them. Derek, does that seem overly technical to you?
No, not at all.
How in the world Can that be? They make it sound like it's some giantly long process. It's not. I've circulated petitions. I'm no surgeon. Okay, I made sure I was a registered voter when I picked up my petitions. I signed them. I made sure that the people who signed the petitions were registered voters. And that's all there is to it. This is not overly technical. And I think this goes to show the people of Detroit, the people of his district, that you know what? You've got a man who wants to flaunt the law. Much like his wife flaunted the law, flaunted the law down in Detroit, Monica Conyers, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. This man does not care for the law and uses the federal court system to get himself back onto the ballot. If you're a voter this year, take a good long look at what John Conyers has done for you. Take a look at what he's saying about the laws of the state of Michigan. Twisting the law, changing the law, instead of accepting it and living by it like the rest of us have to. So take a good long look at Horace Sheffield this year. We're going to let that go. We've got a guest calling in. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
How you doing today?
Good, Jimmy. You were going to call in and talk to us a little bit about your... You've got a... Isn't it a fundraiser or something coming up here? I'm mistaken that with something else. Anyways, you were going to talk about the militia, though.
I've been talking with Drake about this a little bit, and I think that a lot of people just don't quite get the whole thing. It's an unorganized organization. The Title 10 of the United States Code, subsection B, calls for the existence of an unorganized militia made up of the whole of the people, not in the National Guard or serving in some form of service. And the thing is a lot of people say, well, who's in the infantry? Who's the radio operator? Who's this or that? Well, that brings organization to an unorganized thing. The militia is society in and of itself. It's all of us. It's what you do. I mean, if society breaks down to the point where Wham is the only game in town, you guys are going to stay on the air to give us news, weather, music, entertaining talk shows, whatever. You're going to keep doing what you do, right? And we're all going to have to work together maybe to make that happen. And everybody knows who everybody is anyway. So, you know, that's kind of the gist of it. It's unorganized. Now, are there people that wear patches on their arms and say that they're in the militia and go out and practice infantry tactics? Sure. There's lots of people that do that. People play paintball all the time. It's the same type of thing. You're not going to know what to do until it comes time to do it, is what I'm getting at. And I was hoping that, you know, I could, you know, make people understand that it's not a racist or it's an organization made up of the whole of the people.
Yeah.
So,
because you've got members who are African American and Jewish and Christian, right. And they come from all spectrum of society.
Hippies that don't even own firearms. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's absolutely. Yeah, and you guys do more than just, it's not just a bunch of guys with guns tromping through the woods. You've actually worked with some of the townships during times of crisis on the far end of the county, haven't you?
Yes. In Bridgewater Township, we were involved twice with the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Department in search and recovery missions. We were looking for lost people, and... The one time was, you know, just go out in the woods and kind of look around in a big line like you're bird hunting or something. And we actually did, it wound up, unfortunately, that the woman had died and we recovered her body.
Yeah, so...
And the second time it happened, we were looking for a gentleman in a car that just went missing. And because he went to work every day in Jackson County, they wanted, the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Department wanted us to search the state land area in Jackson County for this car, because they're not allowed to go in there. And they only had one state police trooper searching this gigantic area. So we were able to cover a larger area. And most of us are ham radio people, so we had, you know, communication and, you know, we had everything we needed. And we'd done this before. We trained. This is one of the things that we actually trained to do. Some people do go out and train like infantrymen. That's true. I'm not going to deny it. But a lot of times we train to just look for lost kids in the woods or a lost hunter or a downed aircraft. You know, how are we going to do this? For example, another example, great example, is a lot of us are ham radio people. There's an event coming up at the end of June called Ham Radio Field Day. You go into a field, you set up an entire communication system with generators, battery, backup, get yourself online hot, put up a tower, get an antenna going, and start sending a signal as fast as you can. Now, that's a ham radio event, but explain to me how that's not the militia, you know, in the overall grand scheme of things.
Yeah, well, in times of crisis, Jimmy, it's not necessarily going to be the National Guard or our police department or our sheriff's department who will be there to pick up the pieces if something goes horribly wrong, a terrorist attack, an EMP power outage that's nationwide, something comes up like that. It would take society in general, not just the militia, to get together and work together in a time of crisis. And that's what you guys do. I mean, you do fight that stigma. Some people think, oh, they're crazy guys. But that isn't true. That is not today's militia. Do you guys have a website, Jimmy, that people can go to and look at?
Sure. You can go to the Michigan. If you type in Michigan Militia Corps Wolverines, I believe it's MichiganMilitiaCorpsWolverines.com. And that will take you to the website. And that's very diverse. As a matter of fact, the person in this, Matt, our commanding officer for the entire state, is actually a Muslim. It's a very diverse. We don't, it's like the military. You can't kick anybody out. If the whole of the people means just that, the whole of the people. Between 17 and 65 is the federal law. The Michigan state law is between 17 and 45. But it's something that's necessary because, like you said, if there's a breakdown or something bad happens, the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Department might have their hands full and they can't deal with Manchester. So we might have to, like, just keep the peace and calm and... Mainly, it's not going to be walking around with a rifle slung over your shoulder. It's going to be just going to the gas station and trying to do business the same way you've always done and leading by example that way, you know?
Right, right.
Showing people that, hey, it isn't the end of the world. We're going to get through this. Let's move, you know, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, it's part of society being responsible for itself, and I think people need to understand that, you know, that's one option, just being organized, even in your own township. You know, I've always wanted our township police department up in Northfield to have a, not necessarily a militia, but a backup crew of volunteers to help them out. And we do have a few guys that are volunteers for the police department. But it's kind of astounding that over the last 200 years, we've lost that ability to have community militias where, you know, if something happens, the townsmen would gather, or women in our case now, and be ready to help out in, search and rescue or traffic handling. I'm assuming you would be available, Jimmy, if there was a major catastrophe on a highway and the police were out there in Manchester and they were overwhelmed, they could call on you guys to help with traffic flow, right?
Absolutely, of course. And most of us, and right now the big kick with all of our guys is getting into ham radio. And so everybody's buying these, you know, we do try to keep things uniform. We try to all buy the same type of equipment so that it's interchangeable
and things like that. I mean, that's just common sense, though. And so, you know, we have the communications equipment. We've practiced it. You know, we don't need to designate somebody to be a radio man. We already know who that is. He's the guy with all of the radios. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, it's that kind of a, it's unorganized. I have to explain that to people in the militia all the time. Stop trying to bring organization to an unorganized group. You know, don't do that.
Right.
What you just didn't, you need to let things flow, and where people see their hobby, their you know, whatever it is, their interest, that's who they're going to gravitate to. That's where they're going to go, and you're going to, and everybody's going to know who those people are.
Right. Well, it's good. You know? Good to know that it's not what everybody else thinks. You know, I've always been kind of a fan of the militia because I'm one of those guys that doesn't trust government, but. It's nice to know that you guys are actually there working with the government as well. When they need help, they can come to you. So there is a lot of
trying to be part of the government is another thing that I've told people to do. You know, go run for precinct delegate. Go, you don't like what the township is doing, go run against them, fire them.
Yep,
and take over their job. Yeah. You do it.
Yeah, it's a sign of being socially responsible and involved in your community. So I'm glad you got a chance to come on. You'll have to get hold of Matt, and we'll have you guys come into the station one time, sit down with Drake and I, and we'll kind of educate people a little bit more to the subject. So appreciate
well,
the call,
you so
Jimmy.
Much.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much. And Wham has always been very respectful you know, never afraid of us or anything like that, or like we were, you know, scary or anything. I mean, it's always been, you guys are great up there. It's what we need is an open and honest discussion.
Yeah. Well, make
Forget
sure
about
you, make sure you call us and you guys have another gathering of some sort, and we'll get it on the community calendar. Drake will put it on there for you so that more people can get involved and see what's going on.
So much. You have a good day.
Thank you, Jimmy. Take care. All right. Well, there you go. So, yeah, once again, don't be misinformed. Make sure you understand when people say Michigan militia, it's not necessarily a bunch of crazy guys running through the woods with guns. This is a socially responsible group who likes to help out in emergency situations. So we'll have those guys on again one day and get them in here with Drake, and we'll go through that. Derek, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the scandal at the VA. See you on the other side.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like this.
What's your favorite color? What's your...
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
We're here today to ask people about marriage.
For starters, what's the best thing about being married?
Who I get to stay married to.
Togetherness.
Having a companion.
Do you think your marriage is good for more than just the two of you?
Oh, sure. It'll affect generations after us.
The energy we give out in our home, I think, spreads out to other people.
Sort of stabilizes your whole community. It's a cornerstone of a society, right?
Want to improve your marriage? For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Mr. Detweiler, we're all finished.
What?
Your knee replacement went great, and it's all because of you.
What did I do?
You were captain of Team Detweiler. You told us everything. Medical history, allergies. You asked us tons of questions.
Huh. I guess I did kind of run the whole operation, didn't I?
We couldn't have done it without you.
Patient safety. It takes a team. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons with more tips at orthoinfo.org/patient safety.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour radio show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
And welcome back to The Drift. Thank you for tuning in to listen to me on a beautiful Saturday, Memorial Weekend. And we're going to celebrate that in a minute. But I wanted to say, while most of us want to celebrate properly and honor our veterans and our military members, some people are not. And that would include the Democrats in the Senate. The Senate just blocked legislation to speed up the firing of staff at the Veterans Administration. With all that's happened here, with allegedly 40 people dying because they were told to wait for care in Arizona veterans hospitals alone, and I think this is across the board. It's not just a short-term Obama thing. I think this has been happening for years. I've had friends who've always complained about the care and waiting in line at the Veterans Administration. This scandal at the VA is not being taken seriously, I think, by Barack Obama, and certainly not being taken seriously by Nancy Pelosi. I want to drop down, and before we get any farther than that, we're going to probably run out of time anyways, but I wanted to honor our men and women in uniform and our veterans. And Derek, I want to play this speech from Ronald Reagan. It's a little long, but I think it's important. And it sent chills down my spine this morning when I saw it. So we're going to play this and in honor of all our veterans and all our troops currently serving. Let's go with that.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Pork Chop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Chilling words from a president who would not know that Afghanistan and Iraq would fall, and that our thousands of American troops would be taking that fight for freedom to other people across the globe. He was a great man, Ronald Reagan, and I think he believed in our military men and women, as do I, and hopefully all of you. And I want you to think about that this year, not just today, not just this weekend, that the bureaucrats we elect in office don't put our men and women in uniform at the forethought of their brains. These are the people on the front lines. These are the people who make everything we do every day possible. If it weren't for our military men and women, you wouldn't be learning English in school. You'd be learning German or Japanese. So you have to take the time this weekend and this year to think about it. When you go to the polls, look at candidates. And take a look at candidates who have a military background, because I think they know what the word sacrifice means. And that's what we should expect from our politicians. The same sacrifice we expect from the men and women in uniform. So thanks to all of you who have served and are serving. Till next week, see you then.